I have a Bible study today on the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And look with me, please, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. The fear of the Lord. What does that mean? What is it? And I would like to have a basic teaching on that subject because it's very important. Because in the Christian life, we talk about the fear of God, or he's a God-fearing man, or he has the fear of the Lord, okay? Or we should have the fear of the Lord. So the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, look in verse 24, please. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. Look with me also one more verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. That's after Proverbs. Okay, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I like that. It's like, okay, let's just talk about the end. Let's just get to the conclusion of life, purpose, the Christianity, the reason why we're here. You ready? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's good, isn't it? I fear the Lord. I can tell you that right now, at this moment in my life, I fear the Lord. I have not always feared the Lord. Lord, forgive me. Amen. There have been times that just lost the fear of God, didn't even think about it. You go your own way, you do your own thing, and you're not even thinking about consequences. You're just thinking about yourself, thinking about your feeling. You're thinking about the moment, and we forget about God. That's not good. That is not good. It's very dangerous. When you don't fear God, it's very dangerous. We are commanded to fear God. We just saw the whole duty of man. Conclusion of the matter, fear God. That's what the Bible says. It is good to be a God-fearing Christian. Have you heard that before? He's a God-fearing man. Or you know what? She's a God-fearing woman. Have you ever heard that statement before? That's good. But what does it mean, though? Okay? That's what we need to tell. What does that actually mean? And why would we be commanded to fear the Lord? Like, think about that. What does it mean, and why would God command us to fear him? Because when we think of fear, we think of it as a negative light, if we're honest. We fear many bad things, don't we? Don't we fear some bad things? Crime. We fear crime. You go to the city at night. You go to certain places in the dark at night. Well, it's scary. We fear. There's a fear. We have to watch our back. We have to be careful. We fear auto accidents. You know, still to this day, I pray in my car, God, please protect me. Protect the trip. Anytime something bad could happen, you could kill somebody. I think about that. What if, like us God-fearing Christians are driving, we by accident kill somebody? We could go to jail by an accident. You know, so much dangers, and we fear, right? So there are some bad fears. We fear sickness, certain sicknesses we do. You might say, well, I don't fear sickness. Well, certain cancers and, there are certain sicknesses that can happen to you that you don't want to be in the hospital bed for the rest of your life. We fear that. We cherish our health. We thank God every day for our health, right? Devastation or storms. I can't even imagine out west where tornadoes. I'll be honest, I used to have nightmares of tornadoes. I guess because, you know, Wizard of Oz when I was a young kid and seeing the whirlwind and go. And I would sleep and think, but just think, what if you're in a house and all of a sudden you look and there's this giant cloud and whirlwind. Where do you go? Where do you run? What do you do? There's some fear, okay? I fear chemical weapons. You ever think about that? Like nuclear bombs and war. That's scary stuff, if we're honest, okay? Mass murderers, people who have no conscience, no regard for life. I fear those people because they don't care. They'll hurt you, your children, your wife, your mom. I mean, these people don't care. And it's kind of scary when someone doesn't care about anything. It's pretty scary. Isn't that true? So we fear many bad things. But our loving Heavenly Father? Why would God tell us to fear our loving Heavenly Father? Right? Why would God tell us to fear him? Well, first, what you have to understand about the fear of the Lord is there is a wrong fear. There is a wrong fear and a right fear, okay? So we have to establish that. There is a wrong type of fear, and there's a right type of fear. There is a wrong fear. There is also a wrong fear of God. You say, how could there be a wrong fear of God? It's a fear that does not produce good results. And I'm going to give you something biblically, or doesn't produce good fruit in your life. So if you have a fear that brings you away from God, a fear that doesn't produce good fruits, that's not the right type of fear. The right type of fear should produce good actions, good fruit, positivity, protection in your life. And I want to give you an example of fear gone wrong. Okay, this is not good fear. Negative fear doesn't produce positive results in your life. Fear gone wrong. Look with me in Matthew 25:25. Have you ever read about the unprofitable servant? He feared and he didn't serve God. That's not a good fear. So Matthew chapter 25, amen. Matthew chapter 25, 25. Many people have fear. They fear God. They also fear to serve God. They're scared. They fear. I can't do that. What if I mess up? What if I fail? That's not a good fear. That's not a healthy fear. So Matthew chapter 25, verse 25. Look with me, okay? Let's look at verse 23 to get the context. Matthew 25, 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. 25, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. So the Lord came and said, here's a talent. I want you to do something with it, produce something. And he said, no, I feared what you gave me and I didn't do anything. I buried it in the ground. That's the wrong type of fear, right? So he feared and didn't obey God. He feared and didn't serve God. That's a wrong type of fear. Look with me for an example in Revelation 21:8. It's another type of fear. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. This is a good verse for witnessing too, okay? So remember this verse. If you didn't memorize this verse, or at least the location of it, it's good to show a sinner, someone that doesn't know Christ, this verse to show that all sinners go to hell. And that's why we need a Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at verse 8. But the fearful. That's not a good fear. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So it says, if you're fearful, you could be cast into the lake of fire. That's not a good fear. So then why would God tell us to fear him? Because there is a wrong negative fear and there's a good positive fear, okay? So we're getting that. The fear of man, that's not good. We should not fear man in the sense of obey man rather than God because we fear man first. That's not true. We should obey and fear God first before anyone else, okay? The Bible says, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Snare's a trap. Remember, I don't know if you were here when I taught that. It's a trap to keep you not serving God because you fear man. For example, many don't witness because they fear what men will say to them. You're scared to pass out a tract because you're scared of rejection, or you just don't know how they're going to receive you, so you fear how you're going to be received. That's not a good fear. That's not a good fear. But yet God says fear, fear. So somebody could be confused in the Bible. One thing, so fear's wrong. But at the other hand, God's telling me to fear. Because remember, there's a wrong fear, a negative fear that produces negative fruit, and there's a positive fear that produces good fruit. Amen? Okay. So we know there's a wrong fear, but there's also a good fear. All right? So what kind of fear does God want us to have? Have you ever heard God doesn't want us to fear, it's respect. You ever hear that before? Fear of God is respect, it's reverence. That is true. I want you to hear me. We need to respect God. Amen. We need to respect the things of God. We need to reverence God. Reverence the things of God. Reverence, hold dear, hold higher than us, God and his word and his will. Amen. But you know what? We should still fear God. Not in a negative way, but in a positive way, okay? He who has or what has authority over your life, right? If a giant, if we lived in a government or a king, that if you did wrong, that this happens to you, you're going to fear and straighten up and walk the narrow way because of fear. Guys, I just want to say something, and I know you know this, but I want to say this. God is real. He's real. And God is really, really, God is really, really powerful. Really powerful. He can do whatever he wants, anytime, anywhere, at any moment. Amen. Amen. Did you know God can touch your brain right now and you'll be laying in the hospital bed tomorrow morning? You better fear him. That's not a negative fear. That's recognizing he's more powerful than us. We fear things that are more powerful. I do not want to stick a fork or a knife in the socket. That electricity is very powerful. It will kill me. I fear that. That's a good fear. That's a good fear. Okay? Now, God is real, and God is really, really, really powerful. Amen? And he could do whatever he wants at any time. And I want to show you just a couple verses. Look with me in 2 Corinthians 5:11. 2 Corinthians 5:11, a basic Bible study on the fear of the Lord, and putting some verses in perspective so we know how to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, amen. Verse 11, knowing therefore the what? Whoa. See, when we think of terror, we think of like scary movies, ghosts, devils, and you know, and that is terror. That is terror, right? But that terror is because you're scared of the unknown, or you're scared of something bad's going to happen to you. Well, this terror is God is so powerful, he's so great and so magnificently powerful. We fear him because he could do anything he wants to us, and there's nothing we could do about it. So it's an automatic fear, like I am low, he is big. I am little, right? Or I am weak, he is powerful. Amen? It's a respect, a reverence, a fear. It's a good fear. It's a godly fear. And the Bible says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Now, what's that saying? We know the terror of the Lord. What does that mean? One day, did you realize you were going to hell? That's pretty terrible. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty scary. Now, so now we know the terror of the Lord. Now watch this. We know his love and forgiveness too. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we what? Persuade men. So knowing God is so powerful, and us knowing the terror of the Lord, we care about people's souls because we know that men and women without Jesus Christ will burn in a hell, a fire. That's terrible. We know that. We believe it. And we want to warn others, please repent of your sins. Come to Christ. Trust him. Believe in him. You don't understand. Hell's real. See, so it's like now I know the terror of the Lord, God's power. So the fear of God in me is going to help me bring others to Jesus Christ. Okay? So knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So think about that. If you don't know the terror of the Lord, will you persuade men? If you don't fear God, are you going to go witness and tell others about Jesus in hell? No. So knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Okay? Look in Hebrews chapter 10, 31. Amen, church? Hebrews chapter 10, 31. Is it good to think about hell?
Yes.
I want to explain this because a lot of people think that's negative. No. One, if you know you're not going there, it will give you a greater passion for others who are going. Think about hell. Dwell on hell. Believe in hell. Know hell is real. Play it in your mind. Read the verses. Study the Bible. You know what it'll produce in you? You'll have a burden and a real genuine desire to lead others to Jesus Christ. Amen? Look in Hebrews 10:31. Are we there? It is a what? Yes. Wow. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's pretty powerful. Do you know one day you're going to die? And when you die, where are you going to go? You will one day face the Lord. You'll either face him in heaven because you're his child, or you'll face him at the judgment or at the white throne judgment to be cast into the lake of fire. Is that scary?
Yes, sir.
If we really think about it, it's kind of scary. Now, why is it scary? Because he's so powerful. He can do whatever he wants. Like I told you, he can right now touch your mind, and tomorrow you'll be in a hospital bed. And everybody's like, what just happened? You don't know. God could do anything, anytime. That's pretty fearful. But that should produce a positive thing, not a negative. So I showed you. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Look with me in Matthew chapter 10:28. And in Matthew 10:28, in this verse, shows a wrong fear and a positive fear. Okay, so in this one verse, defines that there is a positive fear and a negative fear. And it's the same thing with love, for an example, okay? The Bible says, fear not, but then the Bible says, fear God. Well, that's a contradiction. No, there's a negative fear and a positive fear. Also, love. I'll give you an example. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Love not wickedness. Love not the world. That's a negative love and a positive love, okay? So there's no contradiction in the Bible. All right, so Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. You guys know the verse, but in this one verse gives the differences between the fears, okay? The negative fear and a positive fear. So Matthew chapter 10, 28 says, and fear not, so God's telling us not to fear, them which kill the body. Don't fear man, but are not able to kill the soul. Wow. Men's power are limited. Men can destroy this earth with bombs and nuclear bombs and wars, but they can't destroy your soul. Amen? That's in God's hands. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him. So he's saying, don't fear this, but fear this. Okay? So there's a negative fear and a positive fear. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, there is a very negative fear too. Fear in life. Fear, how am I going to pay the bills? Fear in what's going to happen tomorrow. Fears and anxiety and depression. That's not of the Lord. The Bible says that God gave us, when he saved you, he gave you his Holy Spirit. And he gave us power and he's not a spirit of fear. God doesn't give us the spirit of fear to where we can't produce good fruit or to put us in bondage. Have you ever felt trapped and in bondage? That's not of the Lord. God came to free us and to give us life and life more abundantly. Amen. So let me talk about some good fear. Okay. Proverbs 1:7. I'll just read it to you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I've known some people that have degrees, maybe even doctorate degrees. They're very smart, book smart, but they had no wisdom. They don't have wisdom. Wisdom comes from God when you fear him. When you truly honor reverence, respect God, fear God, you'll start having a spiritual wisdom inside and in spiritual insight that others don't see. You ever notice that? And you're like, how do not people see this? It's because you have wisdom from God. They don't. They might be smart intellectually, but they don't have God's wisdom in their life. And I would rather be a knucklehead I'm trying to find a political nice word. I don't want to say stupid and idiot. But I would rather be uneducated and have a lot of wisdom. I would rather be uneducated but have the wisdom of God. Amen? I would rather be poor in this world but rich with God. I would rather live in a small shack with just bread and water and just suffering with the love of God than mansions and buffets with anger, hatred, and strife. Isn't that true? God's way is the best way. God's always right. We're wrong. We need God. He doesn't need us. We need God. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? Fear of the Lord, the right way, produces positive results. It blesses your life. You'll serve God when you fear God. You'll love people when you fear God. You'll witness. You'll save souls from hell when you fear God. You'll want to be faithful because you fear God. I mean, truthfully, now, we don't do it because I'm scared. No, we do it because we love him. But we have such a high respect and reverence. We have the fear of the Lord in our heart because we care about what he says. Do you care about what God says? Do you really care what God says about you and me and he and she? I mean, do you care about what God says? When you start caring, that produces the fear of the Lord. Now, the right fear produces positive results. It blesses your life. Look with me in Exodus 1:17. I got a couple more verses and we'll be done. Exodus chapter 1. And if you're honest, if you start slipping away from God, we kind of lose the fear of the Lord. Absolutely. Yes, sir. We know we should. We know it's, but we don't have that fear of God in our life like we used to or like we should have. And we need to get that back. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Okay? So Exodus chapter 1, verse 17 is a story. The midwives did right and saved souls. The Egyptians were killing babies. Abortions. Killing babies. Right? Little newborns. And some midwives feared the Lord more than the emperor. More than Pharaoh. More than the government. They feared God first and they saved souls. They saved Moses' life. One soul saved became Moses, the prophet. So look in verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children alive. Fear of God produces doing to do right and to save souls. Is that true?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Look with me in Genesis 42:18. It's the book behind. Genesis chapter 42, verse 18. I don't know if you know the story, but Joseph was sold into slavery, and then God was with him. God blessed him because he feared God, honored God, and he had a great spirit. And the emperor of Egypt raised Joseph up to pretty much very high in command in the government. And then he had the opportunity to see his brothers who sold him into slavery. And then he made a statement because he wanted them to bring the younger brother, because I don't think he knew him. He wanted to see him. And he wanted the younger brother to come. And how did he gain the trust of his brothers that, this is before they knew he was Joseph. How did they gain the trust of his brothers to give him their younger brother? And watch what he says. Look what he said. Genesis 42:18. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. People will trust you when you're God-fearing. You ever hear that? Can I trust him? He's a God-fearing man. You can trust him. People will respect you more in society and your work if they know you're a God-fearing person. And sometimes people lie, and sometimes people use God to lie and deceive people. But God knows the truth, and they'll be judged. They have their reward. They'll be judged. But think about it. We trust one another if we really believe they fear God. If you believe someone honors God, respects God, you'll trust that person to do right more because you, not because he's so awesome, but because he fears God.
Amen.
And this person will want and desire to do the right thing only because he fears God. Guys, sometimes your morality is not enough to keep you in the right line. Sometimes you need something more powerful. So when you fail and you're weak and you're like, oh, I can't do it anymore, you think about God and you go, but I don't want to displease him. I'm not scared. I'll do this, but I'm scared of what he might say and might do. The fear of the Lord produces great, great fruit in your life. Have you lost the fear of God in your life? Do you do things now, don't even care, and you're drifting away from God because you lost the fear of God in your life? It's a command. So you'll save lives. People will trust you. Do you know the fear of the Lord helps us not to sin? Look with me in Exodus 20:20. Exodus 20:20 vision. If you want to see clearly, 20:20 vision, fear the Lord. I just made that up right now. It was just sounded good, 20:20. Exodus 20:20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. The more you believe in God, the more you really know about God's power, you'll fear to sin.
Amen.
And I'll be honest with you, the times that I've fallen in sin, so I got messed up and lost the fear of God in my life.
Exactly.
You just get so messed up and you get off focus. You're not thinking about God and his consequences of power. You're so consumed and absorbed with your life and your emotion and your and sometimes we get off focus.
Right.
So can a Christian lose the fear of God? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But guess what? You'll gain it back real quick. Because God does not let his children go too far. Trust me. I know that. And I thank God for that.
Amen.
Did you know the fear of the Lord will help you live a holy life?
Yes, absolutely.
You'll live a holy life because you fear the Lord. Based on that.
Thank you.
Why do you do what you do? I just fear God.
Amen.
Why don't you do that? Listen, I can. I have free will. I could do that. I don't want to. Why? I fear God.
Amen.
That's pretty powerful.
Yes.
Amen. I'd like to talk about some dangers of not fearing God. And I got a couple verses, but in one book. But I got two books in the Bible that I want to take two stories out from. A good lesson about the dangers of not fearing God. Look with me in Jeremiah 44. Okay? See, after Isaiah. Jeremiah 44, please. Jeremiah chapter 44. Verse 9, Jeremiah chapter 44.
Amen.
Amen. All right. This is powerful. I read this verse last night, and I was like, this is pretty powerful. Powerful verse. You ready for this? Jeremiah 44:9. Have ye forgotten? Wow, sometimes we do forget. Have ye forgotten the wickedness of your fathers? And the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Like, did you forget that who you were? Did you forget who you were? They are not what? Humbled, even unto this day, neither have they feared. They haven't feared. Nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah. One day you can lose your fear and go your own way, make your own decisions, mess up. One, because you forgot who you were. A lot of times we forget who we were and who we are. We start forgetting. We lose the fear of God. And you know what? God has to come and kind of help us to... He helps us remember. And it's not to hurt us. It's not to kill us. It's to help us. We should fear the Lord. Look with me in Daniel chapter 4. It's after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. One day I would like to preach in the church about Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? Very powerful. We can learn so much from Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? I don't know if you know the story, but Nebuchadnezzar was very prideful. Very prideful. I'm great. I'm this. He was very prideful in his heart. And God didn't like that. And God came down and said, and brought a messenger his way and said, Nebuchadnezzar, you're prideful. You're lifted up. If you don't repent, this is going to happen to you. He didn't fear God. He was like, whatever. Yeah, sure. That's what they all say. Okay. Yeah, sure. You're just jealous or whatever. He ignored it. Because he didn't fear God. Look with me in verse 28. So Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. And this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Wow, that's scary. Not giving God the glory. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. He was literally eating grass. He went crazy. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Look in verse 37. Then he repented. He looked up to heaven and said, God, I'm sorry. I've gone my own way. I've been prideful. I haven't feared you. I did things my way. God, I submit to you. I come to you your way. You're right. I'm not right. I fear you, I honor you, I exalt you. You are the God of the earth. You are the God of my kingdom. You're my God. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, started to repent and praise and honor God and lift God up in ways that he should have and fear God and humbled himself under God's mighty hand. And look what it says in verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. We should fear him. You lift up pride, bad things will happen. And God not only uses circumstances, he uses people. You ever just know, like, everything's going wrong in my life. I feel like everyone's against me. Everything's going wrong. Could it be not the devil, and could it be God? Sometimes we blame the devil for everything. Well, what if it was God's hand against you, not to hurt you? Yeah, your pride's wounded and hurt. Your feelings are hurt. But God knows he's trying to get your attention to have a new heart. a new perspective, a new fear, a new love, a new humbleness, a new walk in the Lord. Sometimes things start crashing. We're like, why is all these bad things? And sometimes I see God behind it. Sometimes I see God behind it. God loved Nebuchadnezzar. But he knew how to humble and to abase the proud. Should we fear God? Is he in control of everything? Should we honor him and put him in his right place in our lives? Could God touch your health tomorrow? Could you lose your health tomorrow and everything go downhill and you die? Could you be in a car accident and die tomorrow? We should fear God, love God, praise God, honor God. We can stand to our feet, please.